Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Quess Corp Limited Q3 and nine months FY25 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Balaji Subramanian from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us on the post-Q3 and nine months FY25 results conference call for Quess Corp Limited. It's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of Quess Corp, who are here with us today to discuss the results. We have Mr. Guruprasad Srinivasan, ED and Group CEO, Mr. Kamal Pal Goda, Group CFO, Mr. Kushal Maheshwari, Head Investor Relations and Strategic Finance, Mr. Lohit Bhatia, President, Workforce Management, Mr. Gurmeet Chahal, CEO, GTS, Mr. Anand Sundar Raj, President, OAM, Mr. V. Suresh, CEO, Founded. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by the management team, and thereafter, we will open the call for a Q&A session. I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Kushal Maheshwari to take proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, Kushal.
Thank you, Balaji. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining Quess Corp Q3 and nine months FY25 earnings call. The information, data, and output shared by the management during the call is forward-looking and subject to prevailing business conditions and government policies. All forward-looking statements are subject to economic growth or other risk factors faced by the company. The result and the presentation have been uploaded on our website. Please refer to slide number two of investor presentation for the safe harbor clause. With that safe harbor clause in place, I will now hand over the call to our Group CEO, Mr. Guruprasad Srinivasan, for his opening remarks. Over to you, Guru.
Thanks, Kushal. Very good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Wish you all a very happy New Year again. And before discussing our financial and operational performance, let me summarize the current operating environment. Moderation in private consumption and investment, coupled with a high inflationary and elevated interest rates and interest rate environment, has negatively impacted consumer and business spending, effects of which are visible in sectors where our business operates. Nevertheless, we remain confident in an imminent rebound and economic growth, expecting a revival in industrial activity and continued sector strength to specific sectors that we operate into. Despite a challenging environment and demerger investments, we are on track for nonlinear profitability. In the past nine months, revenue and EBITDA grew in double digits, while PAT and EPS increased by over 50%. In Q3 FY25, we reported revenue of 5,519 crore, with EBITDA at 197 crore. EBITDA margins contracted to 3.6% due to investment in sales and leadership and festive season payout to associates. PAT decreased by 13% sequentially due to demerger-related costs. During the period, we approximately added 7,000 associates. Key financial highlights for nine months are as follows. We added 50,000 associates, and the current total headcount is 617,000, a 9% growth from March 2024 levels. During the same period last year, we added 46,000 associates. We recorded consolidated revenue of 15,702 crore, a growth of 11% year-on-year. We delivered EBITDA of 581 crore, a growth of 13% year-on-year. YTD PAT was at 290 crore, registering a 59% growth year-on-year. The board has approved an interim dividend of rupees 4 per share. With this, now let me specifically talk about platform updates, starting with Workforce Management platform. The platform now has over 500,000 associates, up by 5,000 this quarter, including 40,000 who are in associates who are in notice, who are serving notice period. Revenue grew 18% year on year, 8% quarter on quarter, boosted by bonuses that are recorded as part of the revenue, but essentially they belong to the seasonal payouts of Q3. Consequently, EBITDA margin dipped to 2.3% and grew 3% year on year and remained flat almost for between quarter on quarter. The platform secured 124 new contracts with ACV exceeding to 150 crores. Now, coming specifically to businesses under workforce, to start with the general staffing business. The business added about 5,100 associates in headcount during the quarter, led by consumer, retail and telecom. The pace of headcount addition was slower after a strong start in October, as we saw de-hire after the Diwali season, particularly in logistic and e-com sector. BFSI headcount growth remained flattish due to slowdown in unsecured lending, followed by RBI tightening the regulations. The BFSI sector remains a key watch area as we enter in Q4, and the slowdown is expected to continue in near term as well. As of Q3 end, we have a modest open mandates of about 14,000, primarily from manufacturing and consumer segment. GS, the General Staffing, added 87 new contracts during the period with annual contract value of 136 crore. During the 9-month period, the business brought almost about 240 plus new customers. Our investment in targeted vertical structure will enhance operations, boost efficiency and improve our outcomes. We are confident that this will create a substantial long-term advantage over competitors through our tailored solution specific to the sourcing segment, strengthening our sourcing platform and customer retention strategies and fulfillment. Moving on to IT staffing business. In the IT staffing business, we continue to see encouraging GCC contributions while ITS segment demand remained modest. Our investment in niche skill, specifically in GCC and verticalization and quality of mandate, yielded a better margin profile, which is reflected in our improved realization per associate. To leverage the growth preferences of global corporations to set up GCCs in India, we are augmenting our play with GCC as a service, wherein we tie up with partners, augmenting our capability to provide workspace workforce solution to our customers. We expect significant traction going forward from this. ITES is expected to recover in Q4. And the pipeline is encouraging. We currently have about 1,600 open mandates, which is 15% higher sequentially. In overseas staffing, performance varies across region. Singapore has not resumed growth due to visa restrictions, but strong fundamentals, leadership in Middle East and APAC has driven sales overall growth, and overseas sales remain flat in this quarter. Moving on to the next platform, which is operating asset maintenance. OEM platform achieved revenue of 15% year on year and 4% sequentially. EBITDA margins were marginally low on account of revenue mix change in food and beverage business. During the quarter, we acquired the food and catering and IFM business of Archer Industrial Services. This is a small bolt-on acquisition, helps us to broaden our F&B offerings with foray into industrial sector and enable cross-sell opportunities with our existing industrial, O&M and security business. We expect this integration to be completed by Q4 of this year. I would like to give you some highlights on OEM business, a little more deep dive specifically. OEM platform added about 52 logos with ACV of 170 crore during the quarter. IFMS continues its steady growth with 17% year on year with new contract wins from BFSI, industrial and IT/ITES sector. Food and beverage post-integration with Archer will be a 300 crore exit run rate business. Telecom infra business continued its solid run with a 30%+ year-on-year growth and is on track to achieve annual run rate of 300 crore by exit of FY 2025. Apart from project-related contracts, Vedant, which is our telecom infra business, focus is to increase contribution from annuity O&M services. Security services, post-rationalization of low-margin contracts, has resumed on its headcount-led growth trajectory. Moving on to product-led business, which is now largely represents Foundit business on platform. Foundit registered a weak one-off quarter, primarily on account of seasonal weak hiring season, headwinds in IT/ITES sector, and leadership transition. We are confident that Foundit will resume its revenue trajectory of 20%+ year-on-year in near term. In this regard, EBITDA was also down sequentially, a negative 9 crore for the quarter. However, cash burn for a period of 9 months has significantly improved from 63 crore in prior year to 25 crore till date. CSAT score has been healthy at 93%. On candidate front, 6 months active users have improved by 8% quarter-on-quarter to 27 million, while the recruiter search has also seen an uptick by 15% quarter-on-quarter to 4.5 million. Moving on to the next large platform, which is Global Technology Solutions. GTS registered a revenue of 3% on sequential basis, led by tech and digital, which grew 5% sequentially. Tech and digital includes platform and IT infra service lines. Platform business, reporting an 11% growth sequentially, was a key growth driver. EBITDA was largely flattish sequentially, with margin at 17.1%, 36 basis points lower than quarter-on-quarter basis. We have made significant investment in sales, leadership, product, and delivery capabilities to accelerate our future growth post-demerger. The highlights of GTS platform specific to business line are as follows. BPM business registered a revenue of 3% sequentially. Customer lifecycle management business grew 4% on quarter-on-quarter basis, led by higher contributions from international business and robust domestic business. UltraTech CXM vertical registered a solid growth of 8% quarter-on-quarter and crossed 100 crore quarterly revenue for the first time. International business contribution also increased to 75% in Q3. Sales focus continues to bring in clients which are large in deal size and having a long-term horizon to ensure stable cash flows. Non-voice BPM business, while marginally declined on yearly basis, saw a 2% sequential increase. Collection business has been weak over last few months amid of RBI regulations. However, we expect it to rebound in Q4. Tech and digital business led the growth in GTS with a 5% sequential growth. The platform-based services witnessed a broad-based growth in managed payroll and insurtech business with 11% sequential growth. The payroll business processed 4.4 million payslips during the period, which is a 6% growth on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our sales booking have been encouraging, with 61 new logos coming in during the period, during the quarter, with an ACV up by 26% sequentially to close the quarter at 147 crores. BFSI and media were key sectors where the growth is coming in from. As a run-up to demerger with a new entity, Digitide, we are examining our existing service lines and rationalizing low-margin, low-efficiency contracts, which would give a sustainable upside to our long-term operating margins. As part of the corporate update, our demerger plans are progressing on track. Followed our first NCLT approval, we successfully secured approval from shareholders and creditors in December. In recent months, we have diligently worked on building a strong foundation for each entity. As we await the final approval from the NCLT, a commitment to drive sustainability, long-term growth across all the demerged entities remains steadfast. This transition marks an important step in unlocking shareholder value and positioning each entity for its future success. I will now hand over to Kamal specifically to talk on financial and update on financial updates for the quarter. Over to you, Kamal.
Thank you, Guru. I will first take you through headline financial numbers before delving into segmental performance and other corporate updates. We delivered a revenue of 5,519 crores with a growth of 14% year-on-year and 7% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA stands at 197 crores, up 6% year-on-year basis and marginally higher on a sequential basis. The operating margin is 3.6%, lower by 20 basis points sequentially and 27 basis points on a year-on-year basis, as platform margins have contracted owing to investments in sales, leadership and capabilities in the run-up to demerger. Moreover, the quarter characterized by bonus payments to associates, which is recognized in revenue, also impacted margins. PAT for the quarter is at 85 crores. Demerger-related expenses of 22 crores were recognized during the quarter, which resulted in a PAT decline of 9% on a sequential basis. However, PAT was up 34% on a year-on-year basis, primarily on account of lower finance costs from diligent and consistent debt reduction and higher other incomes. EPS for the quarter is at rupees 5.4 per share, a 26% increase on year-on-year basis and down 12% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Continuing our capital structure optimization journey, we have repaid close to 150 crores of debt in the first 9 months of the year, and gross debt now stands at 224 crores. The board declared an interim dividend of rupees 4 per share, translating to a cash outflow of approximately 60 crores. In summary, on a year-to-date basis, we are on track in delivering on our non-linear profitability trajectory with 11% revenue and 13% EBITDA growth, with PAT growth of 58% while managing cash prudently. Moving on to platform-wise updates, starting with workforce management, we delivered a top line of 4047 crores, which is up 18% year-on-year and 8% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA for the quarter is 92 crores, a growth of 3% on a year-on-year basis and flat sequentially. EBITDA margin contracted by 34 basis points on a year-on-year basis and 17 basis points sequentially to 2.3%, primarily due to visa restrictions in the Singapore region and seasonal festive bonus passed through to associates in the current quarter. IT staffing witnessed a steady growth of 9% sequentially with contributions from GCC, as IT and ITL demand remained modest. Moving on to Global Technology Solutions platform, the platform clocked a revenue of 646 crores, an increase of 10% year-on-year and 3% quarter-on-quarter basis. Tech and digital grew by 5% sequentially, which was driven by growth in our platform business. EBITDA margin was lower by 40 basis points at 17.1% due to investments being made in sales, leadership, products and delivery capabilities to accelerate future growth. Going forward, the focus remains on high-value offerings in digital and long-term large deals in BPM. Coming to our operating asset management platform, it delivered a revenue of 800 crores, a growth of 15% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. Growth was led by telecom and industrials vertical, which grew 30% plus on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA was at 38 crores, witnessing a growth of 4% year-on-year basis and 2% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Operating margin saw a slight dip to 4.7% on account of revenue mix change in F&B vertical. In the product-led business, adjusted for our divestment in QDG, revenue for the quarter was rupees 26 crores, a decline of 29% on a year-on-year basis. This decline was primarily due to seasonally weak hiring in this quarter alongside IT/ITS industry headwinds. As top-line growth was below normal, EBITDA burn increased sequentially to a negative 9 crores. However, on a year-to-date basis, cash burn is at significantly lower levels than last year. Moving on to corporate updates, I'll start off with tax-related matters. We've received tax refunds aggregating to 147 crores, of which 125 crores towards FY23-24 and 22 crores for FY19-20. Moving on to demerger update, we are progressing on track towards the proposed three-way demerger of Quess Corp. Post our first round of NCLT approval, we received shareholders and creditors approval during the meetings convened on 9th December. Internally, we are focused on establishing robust internal controls, streamlining operational processes, and building strong leadership teams for each of the demerged entities. Our aim is to create independent entities that are agile, strategically focused, and well-positioned to unlock value for all stakeholders in the long term. With this, I conclude our financial results and pass back to the moderator to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Balaji Subramaniam from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a decent quarter. So my first question is on the margins. If I look at the EBITDA margins in three of the four platforms, they are down on a YOY basis. So I understand that, you know, one reason is the investment that you are making in some of these platforms before the demerger is completed. Two is because of the festive season related bonus payouts that you did. And the third is probably because of the demand weakness. So, for instance, one of your peers that reported yesterday was talking about PAPM pressures and, you know, the which are not, the PAPM increase not keeping up with the associate wage payouts. So can you give us some sense on, you know, what would be the impact from each of these factors?
Sure. Let me take this and then I'll get Lohit to come in. So, Balaji, first and foremost, I mean, as you rightly said, Q3 is a season, I mean, just season around, we'll be coming out of the season post July to October. So this time Diwali was somewhere on 2nd of November, and we actually saw a immediately, you know, de-hiring as well. So there was a massive de-hiring after the Diwali season. And of course, the specific segments such as retail and a few segments which are sales-led, with the incentives and other commissions and bonuses that gets paid in the subsequent month, which is November and December, which typically is a kind of pass-through, and that's roughly about, I mean, just to give you a number, about 160 crore, which is a pass-through on which there won't be any revenue. So that's one of the reason why the margin is slightly low. Second, macroeconomic, specifically in Singapore, as you know, our ramp-up is not happening currently, and we are almost sustaining the headcount where we are, or rather, to a very small extent, we are also degrowing by headcount there because we are not adding fresh onboards there. So that is another impact that has got in. To the point, what would be our target is to first, we are at 2.4, we are about 2.3%, and first is to inch back to about 2.4% and see how we can stabilize by year end for this particular platform around 2.5%. So that's what pretty much we are working on, and few sectors which are open for Q4, specifically again CRT, telecom and M&A, we are seeing hiring happening, but however, BFSI, there is a slowdown, and we anticipate either to some extent there is a degrowth specifically in BFSI, or it could be almost flat. So from that standpoint, specifically for workforce, this would be the outlook to inch from 2.3 to 2.4, and then probably, you know, aim towards getting into 2.5 range. The other two platforms for OEM, specifically, it's a product mix change that, you know, what is bringing our margin down. Food sector commands a higher margin, and the revenue mix change there on food business has slightly impacted. and food inflation cost, we have seen some abnormal inflation cost, which has probably hit us in Q3. It should settle down. We are renegotiating the contracts, and of course, with Archer integration now, Q4, we should recover back. And specifically for GTS, it's all about demerger and leadership, and we are strengthening the platform and more digital acceleration where the cost and investment is going on. So let me get Lohit to add specific anything on workforce. Lohit?
So thanks, Guru. You more or less mentioned it well. But I'd just like to add some specifics. In the Q3 period, because of the seasonality of bonuses and incentives, approximately 180 crores of pass-through has happened, which does not have any kind of an earning potential. That's the first point. The second point is that while we have seasonal factors, we have to, as an organization, look at the medium to the long term as well. We are in the midst of a demerger process for which we have to strengthen across the platform leadership, as well as the control functions for technology and others. That's also kind of partially baked into this. The third is that in the last 18 months, like you rightly mentioned, Singapore, primarily because of regulatory headwinds there on so-called regime on visa regulations, is impacting overall increase in the IT business. It has not impacted our business downslide, but what it has done is that we've been able to offset with all the great work that our IT team in India has done by almost doubling their business in the last 2 years. It's now reached a point where any further growth in IT in India will start to reflect directly into the numbers. Guru rightly said that the first goal for us is to stabilize at 2.4% plus, and then long-term inch back towards 2.6-2.7%, which will happen by a combination of factors of mix that we have. Today, general staffing in India contributes disproportionately at about 60% plus to EBITDA, whereas international and IT contributes at about 40%. That mix is the other factor that we are working towards making the change. With all of this, the last point is, in the last 3 quarters, we've said that we've also looked at the overall macro situation both in India as well as globally, and gone into both technology spend as well as verticalization spend. Most of that spend at a business level is now complete. And as that starts to fuel new growth, it will definitely give us more uptick in both margins as well as core EBITDA.
Thank you, Lohit. Balaji, does it answer your question?
Yeah, this is quite comprehensive. Thanks for that. I had two smaller questions. So one is on the is the demerger timeline of 1Q FY26 still intact? And the last question would be on this 147 crore IT refunds. Was this all in 9 months FY25? Because if that is the case, probably the entire debt reduction has come from that. So is my understanding right?
I'll ask Kamal to answer your question.
Yeah, thanks, Balaji. So on the demerger timelines, yes, we are pretty much on track. As mentioned in our commentary, we've got the shareholders and the creditors' approval, and we are at the second motion application of NCLT, and we expect the process to get over during the current running quarter, which is Q4. So we are hopeful that we should be able to see all three companies demerged and listed by Q1 of next financial year. In terms of the income tax refunds, the 120 crores of refund, actually, if you look at the release, the refund came in January this year. So the debt reduction is a mix of the refunds that were received over the 9 months and the operation cash flows, which have been very robust. Given that we've received and announced another refund in January month, we expect this trajectory of debt reduction to continue in quarter four as well.
Thank you. That's very clear. That's all from me.
Thank you, Balaji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. So the first question is on the workforce management. Obviously, we are seeing some slowdown in terms of certain pockets within the workforce, which is slowing down, particularly BFSI. Now you mentioned that it will continue, but the other pillars of growth was manufacturing, where we were very positive. How the traction has been there in terms of are we seeing the pickup slowing down, or is it in line with what we are estimating? Also, you mentioned about that there are investments that are required in terms of post, in terms of post demerger, in terms of technology and the key management people. Are we through in terms of all these investments, or still these can have some impact on the margins? On the workforce management piece, how the overseas staffing is panning out, is there still margin pressures that we see there? Also you mentioned about focusing on verticalization as a strategy in your workforce management. Any update on that? How it will drive growth for you post demerger?
Thank you, Amit. For the question on BFSI and manufacturing and general staffing, I would ask Lohit to give you the inputs. At the same time, for investments regarding the demerger and the margins, I'll ask Guru to give his guidance. Lohit, if you can take up the question on the weakness in BFSI and manufacturing segment, please.
So, yeah, sure. Amit, there are broadly two things which are happening in the market. One is that there is an overall slight consumer sentiment reduction which is visible in the economy itself. From the GDP data that we've been seeing, from the larger, broader economy that we've been seeing, I think there is a bit of a stress which is getting built somewhere on the middle class. And, that's captured across results from different companies. Now, whenever we supply manpower to consumer companies, irrespective of whether they come under telecom or retail or BFSI or the others, that could be one degree of, impact. And that is what is visible. We feel that this should be temporary in nature. And obviously, all of us are hoping for the long-term impact of the Indian economy. Maybe Q4 continues to be a little subdued with all of these results. But as we see maybe some action, positive action on the interest front with inflation taming down and everything, will probably spring back extremely aggressively. You might remember if you go back 4 years ago, when COVID hit us, from 242,000, we crashed to almost 190,000. So in a period of 5 months, we lost almost 50 to 60,000 people. That was the worst. And from that period of 200,000 base, today we are at 500,000, 300,000 added across a four-year period. So I think temporary blips in the economy and, 1 or 2 quarters can be there for other factors, but I don't think so we'll see an overall slowdown of the Indian economy that we should be worried of what we saw 4 years ago. So that's on the first front. The second thing you spoke about, verticalization, I'll add that and then you'll get a context. So verticalization has been done for a couple of reasons. One is that we need to get depth in the service offerings that we give to customers. We are a large organization with 500,000 associates. We work in 65 different locations. We have over 500 recruiters in non-IT and 500 recruiters almost in IT. That gives us a massive firepower that we are able to work very, very close to the customers and work with them exactly as per the output that they require. Some solutions have to be built over a period of time which can be differentiated from a general staffing solution to solutions which marry exclusively to what the requirement of those industries are. And hence a combination of leaders who come from both staffing as well as from the industry practices, and they can work closer to the customers and increase that engagement and depth. And lastly, the marrying of the technology that we do is again subdivided for the different sectors and verticals that we deal with. While there's a common denominator of technology for onboarding, for recruitment services, for compliances, for governance, payroll, and the others. But when we have to deliver to a retail company, the technology used is slightly differentiated than a technology which is used for banking versus it's used for manufacturing. So overall, if that gives you a context, I'll come to your overseas staffing pressure. I think the pressure is only in one market, which is Singapore. All the other markets are fairly doing decently for us. But that market alone has shaved off close to 20 crore of EBITDA year-on-year basis. In spite of that fact, we have continued to stay above a certain threshold and a line. That substantiation actually has come from the growth of our GCC in our Indian IT business. I'll just take 1 second to give you one data point. Niche profiles to GCCs today contribute 1,000 of our 6,000 headcount. This was less than 224 years ago. So it's a 4x growth. The higher margin profiles are today 38%, which was just 13% 4 years ago. So again, that is what has aided and helped us in staying above board. We feel another 1-2 quarters, it will start to reflect clearly into the numbers in terms of the growth that we have. Over to you, Kushi.
Guru, if you can give some guidance or some discussion points about the demerger related investments and margins.
Sure. So, while Lohit did cover most of it, few specific data points, Amit. See, last full year, specifically if I take the general staffing, they added about 59,000 headcount, and for the same period, for a period of 9 months, we have done about 46,000 headcount, and we are about 88% achievement to last year. So, and generally, historically, if you look at it, Q3 de-hiring is a common phenomenon, but I think we have seen little more substantial than the regulars. Plus the open mandate, as specifically Lohit did allude to BFSI segment and not being that active in terms of hiring, we have seen a little slowdown on open mandate also. We have roughly about 14,000 open mandates currently. Few specific indicator to look at is our core to associate ratio continues to be healthy. We are about 371. We have slightly inched up on that. We will, having said that, we will continue. One of the area we have been continuously investing and we stay ahead is our sourcing capability, and we are investing more onto it. Specifically, in my previous call, I've spoken about job spots investment that we are doing for hiring, specifically for the manufacturing segment. We have already opened about 5 job spots, about 6 job spots now. By end of this year, we will have at least another 4 of them coming up in various other manufacturing clusters. 80% of our contracts still continues to be in collect and pay, so the cash flows and the DSO days that this platform maintains are pretty healthy there. And if you still look at what encourages us is still 34% of employment who is coming into the workforce is still first time, and it coming into workforce, the data continues to be about 34%. That gives us more confidence that formalization is taking place, and which will continue more open mandates as we move forward. So from that standpoint, I think the indicators are right. However, verticalization can only bring in more focus. So, for example, the large platform vertical for us is BFSI, followed by consumer, retail, telecom, manufacturing and industries, plus a special focus on value-added services, how we can bring in more digital intrusion into the staffing that we are doing. Each of this vertical will have its own structure to of delivery, and it will have its own structure to the market and go to market. While there will be common backend in terms of the payroll process, onboarding, and all the technology that Lohit spoke about will be common across. However, there will be much more deeper focus coming into each of this vertical, and the way we set the target, the way we start off, reviewing this vertical will also be very exclusive. Each of the vertical, while overall business will carry a growth target of double digit, each of the vertical may have much sharper target, the way the market is reacting to that particular vertical and the opportunities existing for them. So from that standpoint, we'll be much more closer to monitoring these verticals at a very micro level. So. And we strongly believe that will, as a sum total and consolidated effort on this, will help us to continue to be at a double-digit growth.
Yeah. Thank you for the explanation, sir. It was very detailed. So, lastly, just a follow-up on the workforce management piece. So, there has been a sharp rise in terms of the transfers versus the sourcing. So, is it by design or is it for this quarter for a particular client?
Your line is a little incoherent. Can you repeat your question?
Yes, I was saying that just a follow-up that the transfer in terms of joinees is now 77% versus 66%. So, there is a sharp increase there. So is it related to a particular client, or because the higher transfers also result in lower margins, if my understanding is correct? And secondly, like moving on to the like founded platform, so obviously there was weakness in this quarter and it's in a transformation phase. So if you can throw some more light in terms of how the recent management changes will in terms of the long-term strategy of us achieving say 20% of the market and like breaking even in FY26, so where we are in that journey.
Sure. So let me take the first part and then I'll get Suresh to talk about the founded piece. With regard to transfer questions specifically that you had, that's more to do with within the quarter, we had a transition that happened. So otherwise, this number can fluctuate between 60% to 70% quarter on quarter. This is normal in this business. So with regard to founded specifically, yes, it's a weak season. We have declined about 28%. Because most of our exposure, almost 65% of our platform usage is from IT, ITES companies, and they are not that active there. And a couple of other things, our 2.0 launch has been a very successful launch. The recruiter outreach program that we are building to enhance and encourage the usage, and our order renewal rate has been about 83%. So there are a few good indicators. So I'll get Suresh to talk about this in detail.
Yeah, thanks. I think you covered most of it. In my view, traditionally Q3 is in big quarter for recruitment. Plus, the dependency on IT/ITES services, is one of the areas, and we see IT slowly picking up. And as Guru rightly said, the Founded 2.4 initiatives have been well received. If I were to give you some data points, I could see significant improvement of profile updates. It's 30% up quarter-on-quarter, 68% up year-on-year. And I also see the 6 month active users up 8% quarter on quarter and 22% up year on year. We have certain green shoots and we hope the market also picks up. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, sir. Thank you. Thank you and all the best for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amin.
The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, team, for taking the question. Large part of the questions has been answered on the EBITDA and EBITDA part. But if you think from the perspective that the investments currently which you have made, you made a comment that as they start yielding incremental revenue, we can see leverage playing out and the margins to improve further from this base. The next goalpost is to recover back to a 2.4-2.5 levels, and then the FY26 if you look at once they start generating revenue, we can still our guidepost of 3% is intact. Is that understanding correct?
Thank you, Chintan. This question is regarding WFM, but on the EBITDA margins, I'll ask Kamal to give some flavor on the margins.
Yeah, so Chintan, you're absolutely right. These investments are for incremental revenue, and some of them we've already started seeing in, like Lohit explained, the GCC hiring space and, the niche hiring and the premiums that we're receiving on the IT space is compensating for the slowness that we are seeing in the Singapore IT staffing. In terms of margin guidance, 3% for WFM is a North Star. And the uptick can only happen when, both the IT staffing India as well as the international IT staffing, jointly fire all cylinders. So that's a North Star for the platform, and, the entire investment has been done keeping in line those margins in mind.
Just to add, as precisely what Paul said, we are doing the capacity building in each of the platform considering the demerger situation, plus getting deeper into thinking of future revenue streams. How do we strengthen the existing platforms and strengthen our existing delivery capability, plus also, you know, invest in future revenue streams such as VAS or GCC as a service. Then plus specifically, you know, the verticalization will bring in sharper focus, and verticalization in itself mean, you know, we are, I mean, it's more of a leadership strengthening by vertical, bringing those domain experts to be part of the each of the verticals so that we can create more solution deeper into respective vertical, just continuing doing than what we are doing. So of course we'll continue to do better what we are doing, but how do we get future revenue streams is something that we are parallelly working on. So all these investments are towards capacity building and supporting that delivery and strengthening our position.
Okay. And second question is on the average PAPM. If we look at the WFM business, we have seen YY growth here. You mentioned that some of it is related to this bonus, seasonal bonuses which we have paid and has largely passed through. Then can we see, you know, this average PAPM to moderate in 4Q and then transition based on the mix, how IT recovers or GCC recovers, we'll see some improvement there. Because if we look at the average PAPM for last few quarters has been on the declining trend because of GS general staffing is share is increasing consistently over the last few quarters, right?
Yeah. So, come on.
So, Chintan, on general staffing as well as for workforce management, you know, we've been giving guidance that we should look at the overall EBITDA increase rather than percentage EBITDA. You know, some of the reasons which we mentioned on the call and you picked up, right, that the bonus payouts during Q3 affects margin percentage because, and Lohit also mentioned that number is close to around 160 odd crores goes directly without adding any to the bottom line. So I think for general staffing and in general for workforce management, the absolute EBITDA increase is something which would be a good indicator for you, because we work internally as to how much gross margin to net EBITDA conversion we can do, and that's an internal matrix that we follow.
So just to add, one is as Kamal said, there could be one odd you know payouts that could happen. Plus, when there is a wage increase, typically on a flat fee, the wage increase will not impact. And so, if you look at the revenue growth through sales is about 30% and contribution, and the balance 70% comes through all the other wage increase or one-time bonuses that can also impact. So typically the right metrics or right way to measure this business is what is my gross margin to EBITDA conversion, and that is something that we seriously review within, and we have been hovering about above 67% on this, which is quite healthy, and continue to keep our collect and pay ratio and upfront ratio on track. So these are two areas for us to, but otherwise these margins would fluctuate.
Fair enough. And lastly, on the budget, sorry.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah. Lastly, on the budget announcement which happened in post-election about the subsidy scheme and all, any thoughts on what are the challenges or how it has benefited us or going to benefit us, any input? Because last time we checked, you mentioned that there are some discussion happening on how to actually on ground execute the scheme, but any development on that front would be helpful.
Lohit, if you can share some inputs on the budget announcements on ELI schemes.
Yeah, sure. So, Chintan, thanks for that question. You're talking about the budget which came in summer of 24 and primarily for formalization and for job and employment growth at the base of the pyramid, the government has given us the ELI schemes. The right. ELI schemes primarily rule drafting has been completed. Lots of shareholder, stakeholder consultations have happened in the last couple of months, And to our best understanding, and I would use the word understanding at this stage because obviously the final announcement has to come from respective ministries and the government. They are the custodians. Is that they have readied the technical platform and the technology which will be able to measure what each company has contributed in terms of new job growth. And job growth is defined both as people who get added to EPFO versus people who get added to EPFO for the very first time with the UAN number. Now, just to give you a data point, Quess continues to be at the forefront of this formalization in India and this, rural to urban transition in India. Just in YTD 25, you will be interested to know 1,13,000 people have come to our workforce management platform for the very first time and got a UAN number. We are also just 2 days away from the government coming back with another budget. We are very hopeful that the long-term trajectory, the government's intention also of formalization and employment growth remains in this budget as well. And maybe we will hear a little more, firm announcement of the implementation date of ELI itself.
Got it. And last bit on the exception which you mentioned related to demerger, should we expect it to continue in 4Q? Any spillover expected in 4Q?
Kamal, if you can take this question.
Yeah, Chintan, so as we are almost, on the verge of getting the demerger completion as explained in our call in the current quarter, which is Q4, there would be some costs which we are yet to incur, which are, purely identified and one-off costs related to demerger. The magnitude may not be as high as what we have incurred in Q3, but there will be some costs definitely which will come in Q4 as well.
Got it. I think that's all from mine. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Sorry, I missed some part of the call. So in case I'm repeating anything, you can please ignore that question. But my first question is, sorry to harp on this question again on this slowdown, which is more like a consumption that even yesterday team leads talk about FMCG manufacturing, there has been a slowdown. So from what I could make out is obviously now you are also saying it's an industry-wide phenomena. So do we also expect Q4 to be muted and we will see some decline in headcounts? And how should we look at Q1 and Q2? Because this slowdown, it can go on for 2-3 quarters as well, right? So just want some clarity on how it's going to play out as per our understanding, maybe next 2-3 quarters.
Thanks, Vikas, for your question. I'll ask Lohit to give a sense of the business environment right now. Lohit, if you can.
Question. So broadly, Vikas, you're right. I mean, the sentiment-wise, I think everybody has been saying the same thing from post Diwali, and it could be a combination of factors. Guru in his opening speech itself said that the high inflation, which was primarily due to the food basket and the CPI inflation index, is the one which has kept the interest rates fairly high. There's a lot of money which has been taken out of the system, and in the last 3 quarters RBI has further also tightened unsecured lending. Now, both these actions, give less disposable income or less disposable money in the hands of individuals, especially the millennials who consume most of the goods and services that majority of Indian enterprise creates. Having said that, I think the recognition of the fact something needs to be done is coming fast. I'm hopeful that in the next 48 hours, as we hear the next budget, there would be things which would be towards driving consumption. Having said that, let me just tell you, nobody said this is going to be easy. When you build India's largest staffing company and largest employer, it's never going to be an easy ride. And our goal post has changed to making the world's largest now. We constantly look at macro and micro environment. But then we quickly look within that, the business and the vertical and the segment environment, and then through that, the customer environment, and through that, the delivery and the productivity that we can do.
So there are lots of moving parts. We have over 3,000 customers. We can add another 7,000 customers, and still there are more enterprises to acquire in this country. So I don't think so. I want to just, you know, talk about consumption and say that's the only one impediment and the factor. But yes, when you are 10% of the market share of the market, what happens to the market for that quarter will have a reflection on your results and the momentum trajectory as well. But like I said, while we are watchful of the macro economy, we are more watchful of our own segments, our own businesses, where we need to sharpen and deepen our results. I'll just take one or two data points. 2020, when we came out of 2020 COVID, we had 9,000 people in our IT staffing in India. Our revenue PAPM was 48,000, but our gross margin PAPM from those 9,000 people was just about 7,000. Today, that has gone to 6,000 with a concerted effort of going towards niche, super niche, and the GCC segment. The revenue PAPM is now nearing 80,000, and our gross margin PAPM in that business is nearing the 20,000 plus trajectory. Last 8 months, our new gross margin addition is at 40,000 gross margin trajectory. So the point I'm trying to make is, this is a medium to long play. We are not here in this business for one quarter or two quarters, and neither are we going to use the quarterly results either as a euphoria or as an excuse.
Okay. So just one thing in that, I mean, for Q4, are we expecting a decline in headcount? And my second question is on this GCC as a service, which Guru sir talked about in the opening remarks, is it largely we are trying to cater the new GCCs we are setting up, or we are going with this offering to existing GCCs also? And what could be the potential? I mean, if any one or two examples you can share, how we are terming it as that as GCC as a service, how we are going approaching those GCCs. Thanks a lot, sir.
India has close to 1,900 operational GCCs. The first decade of GCCs did not even bring in 500 into the country. Whereas today, it's anticipated that every 2 to 3 years, more than 500 GCCs get added. These GCCs could be a combination of both existing GCCs expanding or opening new centers, or these could be new GCCs. Second, from the time, say, 25, 30 years ago, when transition of IT work started happening to India, it was more transactional work which was happening. So you punch a lot of data, you get people at one-tenth the cost in India, punching becomes cheaper, and hence you bring business to India. That has subsequently, in the last 10 years, we are seeing a significant shift. From transactions, it has moved to transformation. So today the questions being asked is, if we do this in Europe, US, or any other part of the world, and we are taking 7 steps to do it, can it be done in 2 or 3 steps? Can 1 or 2 steps be generative AI using along with human intervention? So that has started to happen. And the third phase, which we are very microscopically right now seeing it, but it will play out in a big way for the coming years for India, is where product development itself starts to happen. So look at it as a thematic scheme across multiple years and decades. We were only in transactions. We moved to transformation. And from transformation, we'll finally go into product development, which is where it's the highest of the element. To your question, Quess has always had a plethora of services. Thanks to our OEM platform, our GTS platform, our WFM platform, today we can, from the gate of an organization right up to inside, we can give multiple services. We do give multiple services. We'll have multiple MSAs. The GCCs have always been wanting to look at a service provider which can do this end-to-end, right from real estate support services, right up to the talent acquisition, and then even monitoring and measuring the work which is being done. Our first, we've started this only a few months back. Our first of such setups is already gone live, and the customer has already acquired the premises, and is scaling up now gradually. We feel that in the coming quarters, we'll be able to strengthen GCC as a service, rather than just providing services to GCC, will become significant for our overall business in India itself, while we'll continue to service all other GCCs as a talent acquisition provider as well. I hope that kind of gives you the sense.
Guru, you have any inputs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Vikas. We'll take the next question.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead. Riya Mehta, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. We'll move on to the next question. It's from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from PMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So firstly, there have been some rumors that a new labor code will be introduced in the budget. So, you know, wanting to understand the financial implications on revenue, EBITDA margins, and as well as the absolute EBITDA number, if, let's say, the minimum wage drastically goes up. So what is the flow through and how will your financials be affected by it?
Lohit, if you can give some sense on the labor code, which Aniket is talking about.
Sure. Hi, Aniket. The parliament approved the labor code a few years ago, as we are aware. And since then, labor being in a concurrent list in India, we are a federated structure. The states have been doing ratification of what we call rules. There are four codes. Some states have done ratification of all four codes. Some have done for two of them, some have done for three, and it's a process which is happening simultaneously, but we our understanding with the ministry or our learning on this subject is that we are almost at 90-95% mark as far as that aspect is concerned. The second aspect is not only do you have to do, you know, rule ratification, you also have to create the new systems, the processes and everything for the labor code implementation to really happen. That's also going on, and there is dialogue and consultation with all stakeholders. Stakeholders in this case are not just enterprises and large companies which are employers. They are also employee associations. There are employee unions and many other stakeholders which get impacted by a massive change like this. See, some of our labor laws are dated back 1924, 1947, 1974. So many of them are from decades when none of us even were born. And most of the gig economy, the technology work, the IT, ITES, nothing existed. So it's a rewriting of or rewiring of a country's last 70 to 100 years. To your specific question, what does it do to our business? We've been consulting through our industry federation with the government for over 6 to 7 years. And hence, in many ways, this labor code was born. It's looked at positively for the staffing industry for a couple of reasons, and I'll spell them out. One is, formalization gets aided in a massive way. Second, just take an example of CLRA. Today, if we have hundreds and thousands of customers and each customer has 10, 15 or 50 different premises where we have to deploy labor, we have to technically take a Form 5 and an individual labor license for each location under each district labor commissioner and then file the returns. There is a nationalized license up to 5 years, which is a massive provision. And hence a company like Quess can actually look out into the future, ask for a bigger labor license, implementation of, you know, new people coming on board gets faster, your ease of doing business becomes better, and hence more job creation and faster onboarding can happen. To your question on minimum wage, yes, there is something called a floor or a national living wage concept which is being spoken about. Today, some states are above 20,000. Minimum wage, some states are still as low as 10,000. Average would be between 13,000 to 15,000. If the floor or the living wage were to come out, there will still be other elements to it, depending on whether you're in a metro or whether you're in a rural or a semi-rural or an urban segment. We feel wages eventually will go up because at the bottom of the pyramid, you know, wages have to also go up as well. It will impact by two ways. Immediately, it will increase our revenues. On a margin percentage basis, it may show some stress, but on the actual earning of the rupee value, it doesn't, because our contracts are hedged in such a way that any minimum wage change, and that's the same for the last 18 years, is automatically passed on to the consumer, and the consumer gives a new purchase order to us and we are able to pass it back to them. So it is not negative from that aspect, but the positive benefits far outweigh the fact that, you know, percentage margin may look a little subdued
if that were to happen.
Understood. Thank you so much for the detailed answer. So, just some clarification on that. So, let's say if the minimum wage is suppose 10,000 rupees and it goes to 12,000. So, based on the amount that you earn on your contracts, is there a absolute value change, or I mean, the are the contracts based on a percentage of the wage that you give to the employees, or is it a fixed value which you earn on it? So, for example, let's say on a 10,000 minimum wage, you get 500 rupees. So that goes to, let's say, 15,000. Will you be getting 750 rupees, or will you still be getting only those 500 until the contracts are renegotiated?
Sure. So this is only in the case of general staffing. This is not in the case of IT and international, because in the case of IT and international, predominantly they'll be working either on what is called a bill rate model or a percentage model. But coming back specific to general staffing, 70 odd percent of our book is flat fee, between 65 to 70%. So there our earning potentially can remain the same, whereas the overall bill value or the revenue of the company would increase. So the top line would increase, but the gross margin and EBITDA margin may not change in absolute terms or rupee terms. Some of our contracts, about 30 to 35% are percentage based. And if the ones which are percentage based, obviously the earning also goes up proportionately.
So for this fixed fee contracts, are you in a position to renegotiate them once the minimum wage goes up? Because, if this continues to be a fixed rate contract, wouldn't it be detrimental to you over the long run? Because
negotiation is always a prerogative in business, and I'm sure we will not lose an opportunity to negotiate, but we also have to see what does the market give. We will not trade off growth for negotiating higher margins from existing customers.
Thank you, Aniket. Can I ask you one last question? I just wanted to know about the founded operating performance. So, you said that it would be EBITDA break-even by Q4. So, I don't think that will happen. So, if you just could give a few lines about what went different along the way and what is your outlook for the founded business in FY26. Yeah, that will be my last question.
Suresh, if you can take the call about the discussion on the operational performance of Founded.
Yeah, I think it's a strategy that we embarked on Founded 2.0. And from a Founded 2.0 point of view, the data points on the acquisition of our profile updates, recruiter search, all of these metrics, you have seen definitely positive momentum. If you really look at it, the last 9 months have been not so good for the IT, ITS, BFSI sector, which is where Founded has been significantly strong, which is 65 to 70% of all our revenues come from the segment. So the the kind of macro environment that we have seen, the kind of headwinds that we saw in IT, ITS kind of pushed us back. Having said that, there are some green shoots, and there is a new management which has taken over effective December, and we foresee the overall macro economic environment on IT, ITS to kind of pick up, and we will come back to you probably with more updates in the next quarter.
Just to add on that, currently we clock a revenue of 26 crores per quarter, and just to put the perspective, at around 45 we will be break-even. So that's the cost that we are incurring, and we have in past done for 37 crores per quarter. I think we are slated to first get there as step one, and then drive towards marching towards 50 crores per quarter. With market opening up a bit and our renewal rate being almost 83%, plus product 2.0 which has been launched, the recruiter outreach program that we are working on gives us the confidence to get into maybe in next two quarters we'll be nearly to the break-even.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this was the last question for today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So again, I take this opportunity to thank each one of you and thanks for joining this Q3 earnings call. Your question and feedback has always been really valuable. I would like to once again highlight that we remain steadfast to grow the business across all operational and financial metrics. I sincerely look forward along with my team to catch up each one of you for interaction during our next visit. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.